Welcome to the Washington Heights Church Weekly Podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Well, one of the goals that we have in this podcast is to help people who are familiar in some way with Washington Heights Church to get to know the church better, and that includes the staff. But on other weeks, we'll be introducing you to some leaders who are part of the church, some people outside of the church who kind of have a bigger, broader exposure to things that God is doing beyond just here in northern Utah. But today, as we get started with this, I drew the short straw on getting to know staff here a little bit better. And so I reached out to our staff and I asked them to give me some questions, and I'm going to see how many of those I can get through. And each and every week, we're going to try to take about 20 to 30 minutes. We know that not everybody has a ton of time for some extra things, but maybe as you're walking your dog or driving to work or something, this time will help you to feel a little bit more connected to Washington Heights Church. So the first question I got, maybe the most basic question, is kind of, where are you from? Where did you grow up? And a little bit of an unusual story for me. I was born in northern New Jersey, but my parents are from Germany. And they were German missionaries who went to the South Pacific, a little island called Manus Island. My brother and sister were born there. Then my parents were brought to the U.S. to oversee that U.S. branch of that German-based mission, and I came along a year later. So I'm the only one in my family that was born in the United States. And kind of a quirky thing there, until I started school, English was not my first language, but it was German. My German's a little rusty now. But I am the youngest in my family, and as I like to say, that explains a lot. Also asked about my family. So I have been married to Sally for coming up on 32 years, which is just hard to believe. We met at college back in the day, back in the early 80s, and dated for a couple years, got married between when I was in college and then in seminary and graduate school. And we have two children. Chelsea is our oldest. She's married to her husband, Nick. They live here in Clinton, Utah. And our son, Ryan, just started a job last summer as an accountant, and he has moved to San Jose, California. And as we record this with the COVID crisis, he is on full lockdown out there. What hobbies do you enjoy? Well, I'll probably tell you about the hobby that I used to enjoy. I used to love to run, and that was what I used to call my own personal therapy session. Just helped me to think things through, do some praying, and just some talking to God out there on the roads a lot of times in the dark. All by myself. I don't do that anymore because I've had both my knees scoped and have some other issues going on there in my hips too, and I miss that very much. Since then, I have a mountain bike, and I try not to hurt myself out there along with some other guys from Washington Heights and beyond in doing that. And also Sally and I go to the gym, at least when they're open, which they're not right now. But we do spin class and swim on occasion and do some things like that. I just believe that we were made to move, and we just need to stay in motion. I was asked about our journey to Washington Heights Church. Yeah, after I completed school there, I was brought on staff at a church in New Jersey, and that church is in the same association as Washington Heights Church. And I came on as a staff member there, as a staff of four people. I was not in the same role that I am now. And then after 5 years of being on that staff, the senior pastor there left for another calling in Colorado, and I became the lead pastor there in New Jersey and served in that role for 8 years. It was during that time I served on the board of a mission agency that we're still connected with here at Washington Heights, and one of the staff members from Washington Heights at the time was on that same board, and we just connected with each other, seemed to agree about a lot of things, and just spent a lot of time chatting, and then it was in the course of one of those conversations that he mentioned that the pastor at Washington Heights at the time was retiring. And he asked if we would consider that. I said no, because we weren't looking to move. But he said, well, just pray about it. And Sally and I committed to pray about it. And we really believe that our backgrounds, and I should say that my wife Sally also comes from a missionary family. Her parents are from Pennsylvania, but they served in South Africa starting new churches. And so Sally was born there and lived in South Africa into her teen years. And so we both had this missions background, and we felt that even that was not a coincidence, and really felt that, you know, Utah being just unique in its culture, that our background there was part of our confirmation that God was calling us in this direction. We've been here since May of 2004, and it was quite a change, and we absolutely love it. We love Utah. We love the people of Utah. We love what God is doing in Utah, and just love it. When you trusted Christ, tell us about that. Well, I was on a youth retreat with the church that I was a part of back in New Jersey, and I was 16 years old, and I didn't want to go on this retreat. But my mom made me go, and my friend and I, we smuggled some beer into that retreat, and we were just gonna, you know, do all kinds of different things, but God had different plans. And it was in one of the meetings that they had there, they were serving communion, and they invited us to come forward to the people who were overseeing that communion and to confess our love for Jesus Christ as our Savior. And in that moment, I knew that I could not do that. And what's interesting about that moment is that if before then you had asked me if I was a Christian, I would have said yes. I'd been around church. I knew a lot of stuff about church and the Bible, but it was not personal. It was not a relationship. And it was sitting there in that chapel on that retreat that I made that decision to trust Christ and enter into a relationship with Him. These questions are pretty random. The next one, what song would be played if you were a prize fighter, which would be an awesome line to be in, but I don't see that in my future. But the song that I would pick to have kind of be my theme song for that, I think I would choose from one of my favorite groups, POD, which is loud and hard music, and I don't know why I love that, but I do. And they have a song called Boom, Here Comes Da Boom, which I think would be very appropriate for somebody who is a prize fighter. Where did your name come from? Yeah, you know, my last name is, you know, is pretty evident, is German for reasons I've already explained. But Roy's kind of an odd name for German parents to give their kid in the United States when that isn't really much of a common name. And the reason I have that is because my parents didn't like the habit that happens here where people's names get shortened. And they thought, well, if, you know, it's somebody's name, that should be their name. And that was just kind of what they were used to. And so somebody one day said, oh, well, Roy is a nice name. And they said, and you can't shorten it. But people have been adding to it ever since. So I don't know. People are always going to find a way to do something. Another random question here. Have you ever read the Apocrypha? And let me give just a little explanation in case you don't know where that word comes from. Apocrypha is a name given to a set of writings that come between what we in our Bible call the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is this space in the Bible that we use where there's a 400-year gap between when the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins. And there are many scholars who believe that there was no revelation from God during that time. And it was almost, you know, maybe so to speak, like this pregnant pause before the one who had been prophesied and predicted for so long, Jesus came into this world. And, you know, the next thing that happens is his arrival and his birth. Well, the Roman Catholic Church believes differently. And so there are a series of books that are believed to, for the most part, be historically accurate. Some of them are more like parables. And they come from that time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's some good historical information in there in what happened in the time between the Old Testament and the New. And to answer the question, I have read the Apocrypha. It's been quite a while, probably a couple decades. There's some interesting stuff in there, pieces of history that may be fascinating to some, especially as the Greeks came through the biblical geography during that time. Here's a question that comes from our children's ministry department. What Bible story would you be in if you could be? I have always been fascinated by the story of Daniel and his three friends in the Old Testament. I think the easy answer to that question is, you know, pick something with Jesus, right? Jesus always a safe answer, and certainly it would be awesome to be around anything when Jesus was here. Aside from that, I love the story of Daniel, and the primary reason I come to appreciate it more and more is because four young men who knew the God of the Bible were taken out of their context and into a culture where the name of God was not known. There were all kinds of different gods. They were coerced. They were encouraged to bow down and worship those other gods. And they stayed faithful to God in a culture like that. And I think that story is really important because in some ways, I believe we're living in a time like that, where the culture is shifting. Judeo-Christian values are being moved to the periphery of our culture. And I think there are followers of Jesus in this day that ask that really good question. Can you live for God? Can you honor God in a day like this, in a time like this? The story of Daniel and his three friends says, yeah, you can. It's not always going to be easy. Far from it. But yes, you can. And I draw great encouragement from that story. And, you know, it's also interesting to see how those four men exerted influence for the sake of God in a culture like that, that their lives spoke to a lot of the lives that were around them. And God just used them in a powerful way, even when the current of their culture was not going in the direction that they were used to, not going in the direction that they would want it to go. Another question, who is your favorite author and why? Well, there are a lot of answers to that. I'm going to give you one answer from the Christian world, and I'll give you an answer from, well, he's a Christian too, but he didn't necessarily write an explicit Christian book. The one from the Christian world is an author by the name of Jerry Bridges. I just love the way that he writes. It's very practical, and throughout my 4 decades or so of following after Jesus, his words have just provided a lot of help, a lot of inspiration, a lot of encouragement, just a lot of practical application of faith to real life, and especially words that he uses in reference to grace and how that frees us up to follow Jesus all the more and not put that burden on ourselves to try to even make ourselves presentable before God, but to lean into God and allow him to do his work in us has proved to be very beneficial in my own spiritual journey. Outside of that, my favorite book that I've ever read, aside from the Bible, is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And if you've never read the books are way better than the movies. And it is because of Tolkien's writing. And he had a gift that allows you to be in that story in ways that just take my breath away. You know, I love writing, and truth be told, I like to write more than I like to speak. And to engage his writing and to see the way that he used words and phrases and created these pictures and this whole world, he created a whole elfish language from scratch. And put it in the context of this story that is just a remarkable story that illustrates in many ways spiritual truths and spiritual realities in a world like ours. So still a big fan of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I've not read it in quite a while, and I want to get back to it one of these days, but I don't think that's going to be anytime soon. Another question, if you could listen to a podcast yourself, who would you listen to? And actually, I do listen to a number of podcasts. I take my dogs for a walk pretty frequently and go about 45 minutes to an hour on those walks. And I like to listen to podcasts during that time. And I've got a few of them that I listen to. I'll just hit the highlights of the ones that I enjoy the most. One is Kerry Newhoff. And I would spell that for you, but it's really confusing. But if you get even close to that, his name will come up if you search for that in the podcast, because there's no other name like that out there. His is about leadership, and he interviews leaders. Some of them are from the Christian world. Some are from the business world. I always find it helpful and instructive. Craig Rochelle also has a leadership podcast, and I find his concise and practical, very much to the point. And there are times that our staff has listened to those together. I also like to listen to Tim Keller. He is a pastor in New York City, and he's just a brilliant thinker. He's a philosopher. He's just a good communicator of God's word, and his podcasts are often messages that he has shared at his church, and they were just very rich. There's a lot of depth there, and something that I've really come to appreciate, because in the role that I have, you know, there is also this need to have God speak, you know, to me. And I think one of the ways that that happens for me, not only through my own personal time with God, but is to listen to other people that I really connect with. I've asked this question: who has been the most influential person in your faith journey? Wow. Tough question to answer. And I don't know if I can narrow it down to one, because I really believe that we are the product of many inputs into our lives, and that includes many people that we gain exposure to. I'll tell you about one, and I'm going to hope to have him as a guest on this podcast in the future. He was one of my professors back in my undergraduate days. And when I first went to that school, and it was a Christian school, and, you know, I was kind of leaving behind the life. Remember, we smuggled the beer into the youth retreat and all of that. And when you signed up to go to the school, you signed, you know, this agreement that you weren't going to, you know, drink and smoke and see movies and all these different kinds of things, you know, that were kind of off limits. And so I took that pretty seriously at the time, only to find out after doing that, that at the school, there were a lot of people who were doing all of that and more. And that really threw me, spiritually speaking. I thought, wow, I thought this was the land of the spiritual giants, but there's a lot going on here that, you know, some of my beer drinking soccer buddies and others just wouldn't even do. And this is a Christian school. And it led me to the point in that first year, really the first semester, where I was thinking, I'm not sure that this is the place for me. And I thought it was something else other than what it is. Well, there was one particular professor. His name was Chip McDaniel. And he took myself and a couple other guys under his wing. He always had his office door open to us. There were times he invited us to go for a ride in his car to the Princeton Theological Seminary library, and he'd show us how to do a research paper. Now, you have to think, this is a number of years ago. There was no intranet, and so we had to do a lot of this stuff by hand. And he would show us how to work through all of that, and the conversations in those car rides, the conversations in the office, have just had a profound impact on me. And one day I shared with him, I just said, you know, I don't know that this is for me. You know, we're supposed to be doing this. At least that's what I signed there. I thought that was real, but then it just seems like it's not. And he just kind of stopped me at one point. He goes, you know, you're just going to need to decide. You're going to let the behavior of others determine yours, or are you going to let God's direction determine the decision that you make? And that was a very insightful comment. You know, it's easy to base our decisions pointing at other people, but really what it comes down to, especially when we're seeking to follow after God, is what is God calling me to do? Where does God want me to be? And so I stayed there. And I think one of the other things I came to realize over time too. It's really easy to criticize other people's sins that may not be the same way that you sin. And that's just a really bad road to walk. You know, I got plenty of things that God still needs to work out in me. And how easy it is to just look at other people, you know, and say, oh man, just, you know, they're a mess and who would ever do that? But you often forget that there could be people looking back in your direction wondering the same thing. And so rather than just pointing the finger at others and making it about them, I think we got plenty to do to just allow God to continue to do his work on us and to be humble before God, because nobody deserves to be in a relationship with him. Nobody deserves to serve him in ways that we get the opportunity to do so. It's all by his grace. And so Dr. McDaniel helped me to turn, I think, a pretty significant corner in my own journey. It would have been easy to just bail and do something different. And I shudder to think what that might be. I'm also asked this question: what would be your advice to new and young up-and-coming leaders from your experience? And, you know, I am excited by a number of people that God is reaching, bringing to himself, and just getting plugged into the things that he is doing. And if there was somebody who was wondering, okay, so what's my next step? How do I move forward in what God has for me? You know, we just talked about influencers in our lives, and I would recommend to somebody, find someone that you resonate with, somebody that you respect, somebody when you look at their life, their faith, and you say, I want to be like that. You know, I hope that my faith takes that shape, you know, as time goes on. Get to know them, spend some time with them, offer to buy them coffee, take them to lunch when we are able to do so. But get close to them, and hopefully even in the arena that we have, you know, we're big believers in small groups for that very reason, because we think relationships are so powerful. And maybe they're in a small group. Join that small group with them. And then try out different ways to exercise your gifts. You know, when we come to faith in Jesus, God gives us some spiritual gifts. They are his unique supernatural capabilities that we have, not for our own sake. They are so that we can serve other people. And begin doing different things and seeing what works with you. Some of the gifts are a little bit more behind the scenes. Some are up in the front. But even that, you know, it's just not a formula that allows us to figure that out, because I'll just be real honest with you. I don't get a lot of personal satisfaction of standing up in front of people and talking. Now, that is a big part of what I do and have done for a number of years. And you would say, well, how does that work then? I mean, wouldn't God call us in the way that, you know, we would resonate with that? Well, he can, but I wonder if sometimes he calls us in a different way. And in my particular case, you know, I think that there is the potential for pride to just thwart the efforts. And sometimes I'm convinced that God calls us in a way that would not be our natural inclination, so that we would be convinced on an ongoing basis that it's him doing it and not us. And so get involved. And when you see God using you in particular ways, I would pay close attention to that. Because when we exercise those gifts, there's something that happens, again, not for our own sake, but for the sake of God and his kingdom, that is far beyond us. One other question here, and then we're going to wind it down. What is your type of leadership style? And wow, I've seen so many different lists about all these different leadership styles. I think my gifting in that arena is for vision and direction on a bigger picture level. I'm not super administrative. I don't enjoy that. And I can sometimes lose a lot of details along the way. And there are some really gifted people around me who help me with that and cause me to look a lot better than I am in that arena and others. And I also think that my leadership style is more of a collegial style of building a team. I really believe that we are better together than we are alone. And it is a team that is not micromanaged, but it is one where you get the right people, you know, you get the right horses in the barn, and then you turn them loose with all the horsepower that comes along with that. And I would just say that right now on our Washington Heights staff, this is the best team that I've worked with, and they are so gifted and so capable, men and women who love God, that love this church, and to just see them flourish and thrive is just a delight. And so I think one of the pieces that comes with a higher level of leadership and vision and direction is creating a culture. And, you know, whether we recognize it or not, every church has a culture, and they're not all the same. And the culture that we have really worked hard to create at Washington Heights, but it's hard to define because, you know, you can't just write it all on a whiteboard and detail a formula of how to get there. But it's a culture where everybody is welcome. Anything is possible by the power and by the grace of God, and that it's all about Him. And at its heart and soul, what really, you know, turns the crank of my leadership, so to speak, is I long to see more people name the name of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is right about heavenly realities, and, you know, I'm betting my whole life he's right about everything, but the stakes are sky high, and there are so many people that God loves. And many of them here in this area of northern Utah have yet to hear about His grace and yet to experience what it means to be set free. And so the engine that, you know, just makes Washington Heights go is seeing people coming to know Jesus, as we say it, helping people meet and follow Jesus. And what that requires of people who follow after Him is that we would put that priority many times ahead of our own, that it just isn't about me, right? If I have a relationship with God, I have, you know, the presence of God, I have the promises of God for the future, you know, what are we doing here and now? And I think we have the opportunity to turn our attention into a culture that is just hungry and ripe for God. And in this day and for this time, my ongoing prayer is that we would truly see more people meet and follow Jesus. Well, thanks for joining me on this day, and I hope that maybe gives you a little bit more insight to Washington Heights. And as we go along, you're going to meet some other staff members, and I think you will enjoy those times there. We've got quite a diverse crew, and that is a good thing. Hope that you are all staying well, and we will see you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. And our reason for doing this, we want to help people feel more at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. We'll talk to you soon.